This recording will be for the school board meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education, held on Wednesday, January 7th, 2009, at Canyon View Junior High School, starting at 7 p.m.
Anyway, we welcome you here to our board meeting and appreciate being at Canyon View Junior High. We'd like to welcome Janet. She's the newest board member, and we're happy that she's with us. We will begin by having the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll all stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have the swearing in of newly elected and re-elected board members. So, I'm not sure who does that.
Well, I'll do it.
Okay.
Should we start with Nanette?
Let's do.
Okay.
Someone you can really look up to.
Yeah, let's do.
I'm going to stand over here with Nanette, and you'll just need to repeat the oath. I.
Raise your right hand.
Okay, I am state your name.
I, Nanette Tanner.
Having been elected. To the office of school board member. Do solemnly swear. That I will obey.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of this state. And that I will discharge. The duties of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations.
Go ahead, Laura.
Can we do it together?
I don't know if you can talk in unison.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and state your name.
I, Lyle Johansson.
Samuel N. Singleton.
Having been elected. To the office of school board member.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend. The Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of this state. And that I will discharge. The duties of my office with fidelity. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay. We have election of board officers, so nominations are now open for president.
Just so you're aware that on odd number of years, every 2 years, there is election of board officers. So.
I think that Lyle does a terrific job, and I'd like to nominate her as president.
So would I, so we don't have to change the stationery.
Oh. I will.
Tough economic times, we don't have to change.
I will second that.
Any other nominations? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, and we need a vice president.
I would move that we re-elect Royd Hatt as our vice president.
Second.
All in favor? Oh, any other nominations? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Well, thank you for your confidence. We'll get through this together, that's for sure.
Just let us know when the inaugural ball is going to be.
There won't be any. Okay. And then we have the pleasure of the appointment of the business administrator.
I would just like to thank Jared for the great job that he has done, for the pleasure it has been to work with him, and for the efficient manner in which he has done his job. And I would certainly recommend that we reappoint Jared as the business manager of the Emory County School District.
And any other comments?
I'll second that with an addition that not only does he carry out his duties efficiently, but he also has reestablished a trust in the district
right.
that was badly needed.
And I will third that with the statement that you do it in a pleasant manner, Jared.
Yes.
It's just very pleasant to get along with, and you're very efficient, and we appreciate you.
A giant of a man and a giant of a leader, so
yes.
We're very fortunate to have you in our district. So, there's been a motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, let's go to the consent items, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for November and December. Any questions on that or discussion? Do you have any that haven't been resolved?
I phoned mine in.
Okay.
I would like to be invited to the police department next time, but other than that, I move that we accept the warrants and the minutes and the consent items as they've been presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Personnel action, names for approval?
Yeah, I have four names. These are replacements for other employees who have left, well, other than one. Trudy Cox, two-hour library educational assistant to replace Ruth Polaney at Emory High School. That's through the rest of this school year. And that'll need to be reevaluated at that time. Gillian Wandell, who is we're recommending as a half-day kindergarten teacher at Cleveland. Luann Jensen has been teaching full-time, but only because we couldn't find another teacher, and she wants to be part-time. So we do have Gillian now, who is teaching there, so we'll recommend her for that. Casey Crawford is a three-hour educational assistant. At Paramount Elementary, this is a replacement for Cassie Taylor, and that is a position that's paid for out of Paramount Elementary's land trust fund. It's a class size reduction aid that they've used their trust land money to hire. And Haley Jo Horton, three-hour preschool educational assistant, and it's also at Paramount Elementary, and she is working with a special needs autistic student in the preschool. And I would recommend the board approve those names for hire. I was sent Norton, but we checked and it's Horton. So the name you got, is it Cleveland?
It is Cleveland.
Okay. Well, it really doesn't matter where I say they are. They're hired by the district, but thank you.
Okay. Any questions on those? Or?
Yeah.
Is there a motion for?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We have an approval of automotive competition travel.
Yeah, this is the automotive team that has two competitions in New Mexico. They had their first one, I think it was in November, and now they are returning in February 3rd to the 7th. It is paid for by CEU, which includes the transportation, but since they are our students, it does require board approval for them. Just as you recall, they've done very well in the competitions there. The five students, I think the last time, and this is a junior college competition, and our high school kids finished second last year in the competition. Mr. Cava has done a great job there.
Well, I wish Mr. Cava were here, but I would just like to say what a great job he does do. He lives near me, and so occasionally I stop there and visit with him, and just as a friend, but yet he updates me on a lot of the things that are going on, and the competition that he involved these kids in, like you say, is junior college level, and they do such a wonderful job, and I just... hope the new budget cuts and so on that our vocational programs at the high school through CEU will not get cut and they can keep going. But I would certainly recommend that we approve their going to this competition.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Approval of junior high honor choir travel.
Mr. Jones.
Okay.
Hello again.
Hi.
Hey.
Getting to be a habit, isn't it? Mr. Boncher and Mr. Bird, so Mr. Jones getting permission to speak for Ken and you too while I'm up here, have traditionally taken junior high students to an honor choir. It involves 9 students from our school and 8 from Canyon View, and it is an overnight trip. It will be January 24th and 25th at Kearns High School. They have changed the location since last time. They didn't even have a date the last time we were here, but it is at Kearns High School. In reference to our meeting of last week, Mr. Citrus, Mr. Boncher has looked into the possibility of getting the money back. The kids have spent $45 of their own money. We have not received an answer of whether that can be returned yet or not. We know at least $10 of it went towards the music for it.
Right.
And the kids have been practicing this music for a couple of months, 6 weeks to 8 weeks, over and above the regular chorus music. It's different music because it involves only 9 kids. And so there's an investment of time as well as money on the kids' part.
And what he's referring to is the freeze that was placed on field trips at the current time because of the possible budget cut.
Okay.
But where there was an investment of personal money that we're not sure they can get back, then I told Mr. Johnson that I think we probably ought to go ahead with it.
I agree. There's plenty of chaperones, I take it.
There'll be Mr. Boncher and Mr. Bird at least, so there'll be 2 chaperones for the
17.
Okay, I'm going.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
Then we probably need 1 more chaperone. That's
true.
That was January 23rd and 4th.
24th and
4th. Mm-hmm. Well, I move that we approve that field trip. I guess if you call it a field trip. Yeah, it's an honor choir performance over there.
Second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Thank you.
Well, good luck.
May I just take
Absolutely.
1 second? This is from Mrs. Butler, and a lot of the kids at San Rafael, and she wanted to include some pictures of her new library.
Nice.
And there's a little thank you note here to the school board and the school district staff for the library, but some pictures you can get a look at and see the change. And she specifically thanks Mr. Card and Brett Jeffs and Wayne Roberts, who Mr. Card built it, Brad electrified it, and Wayne computerized it. So
wow.
They did a lot of work, and it really turned out.
It's nice.
Nice.
Thank you. Very nice.
Great.
Thank you.
Look at it.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. And if you'll excuse me, I've got another meeting to get to.
Thank
you.
Thanks. Okay. Approval of Emory High School Academic Probation and Remediation Plan. Principal Davis.
Do you all have copies?
Yes. Yeah.
As we got into the school year, approaching the end of first term, and it became apparent that we had no way at that time to deal with students failing core classes according to remediation policy and state law. In the past, Emory High had a summer school that was not well attended, was not economically viable. And so we started looking at some ways that we could provide remediation for our students as they had problems, especially with core classes, give them a chance to get that core credit they needed. And one of the other problems that we hoped to take care of was scheduling, the shuffling of students who were failing a term of a core class and then having to pick that up somewhere else, and taking a quarter of a core class at the beginning of another year, then pulling out. It involved quite a bit of shuffling and certainly a scheduling nightmare. for our counseling office. And then also another part of that was that a lot of the students were failing to get the credit they needed in their core classes to graduate. So we decided to prepare a remediation model and at the same time include an academic probation program that would hold these students accountable to complete the remediation. And so we put together this model. It's based on the Canyon View model that I was very familiar with during the time I was here and found it to be very effective. And it was presented to our faculty initially, and of course there were a number of questions about it and some suggestions. And so we began the process of tweaking it a little bit to the point where I felt like we had satisfied all the concerns of the faculty. It was then presented to the community council, and it went with their approval, and then went back to the faculty, and we approved the program that you have before you. And so I present that for your consideration, and I'm here to go through it if you would like and explain it in further detail or answer any questions that you might have about how this would work. We're right at the end of second term right now, and we plan on putting this into effect for third term if it is approved and ready to go.
We've been, Gwen and I have been through it and feel what we would recommend approval of it. I think it is a really good plan. I think it's taken into account what's good for the kids. What it will require, however, with your approval, you will also be approving the fees that would be assessed for it. On your current fee schedule, there is a $100 fee for class for remediation for summer school remediation. This would be a remediation fee for fees during the school year that are following each term of school. So we would have to add another fee on the schedule, so they can't implement the program unless this fee is on the fee schedule. So you'll be approving a change in the fee schedule that we'll add it in and then give you additional copies also. So remember that when you're approving it.
Larry, about how many students or what percentage students are subject to remediation?
Based on first term of this year, I would say about 20% of students.
Okay.
Yeah. But we've not had remediation, nor have we had academic probation. So I would hope that with this program in place, that more students would be motivated to pass the classes without having to go through a possible academic probation and remediation. It goes back to the old idea that students all learn at a different rate, and if given enough time, they will master the subject. We're giving kids, in this model, an additional week, a grace period, to complete enough work, complete a project, retake a test, or maybe even take a test, so that they can bring that grade up to pass. And if not, then it would go into probation and a remediation. I really like the grace period component.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a huge incentive for kids, and it's also a financial incentive for parents to work with kids in getting that done.
I had a question about, is this also done in the junior high, something similar? Because it seems to me if you kind of got them on task when they came to high school, there wouldn't be the, you know, problems when they get there. A lot of the times they fall behind if they're...
Doesn't have that continuity.
Yeah.
This is almost identical to Canyon.
Is that what you're using?
We haven't changed
it. You're still using this? Oh, great.
And I'm not...
Okay.
It's somewhat similar. I'm not
quite
sure.
Similar.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I've given that a great deal of consideration as I put this together, with knowing that the students coming from Canyon View are going to be very familiar with
right.
this. It's not going to be some kind of academic shock to them. In fact, I think the shock comes when they realize that there hasn't been that accountability for
mm-hmm.
them. just been a matter of if you fail the class, then somehow you're going to have to pick that credit up. And, you know, that's pretty doable, especially if you're a sophomore and you think down the road, well, I've still got two more years. But from the administrative end, it creates a lot of problems with scheduling, and we begin to worry almost immediately about students failing the classes and getting the credits they need to graduate.
Right.
Well, I think once the board approves this, and I think Gwen can probably, with all of the secondary principals together, could have Larry share what he's gone through here and the components and see how we match up.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I really liked about it is that there are administrators who will fail the same class, financial literacy, and then those classes the next year are bigger and bigger, and they often enough to cover the kids that we have at that time. So we're not able to even cover the numbers that have to go back into the class.
Okay.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
On number two, on your remediation recommendations, it says use the requirements to raise the standards to at least a C, and I agree 100%. But what's your time frame on that?
I want to see how this is going to work out to the rest of it this year. I want to make several aspects of this a little bit more challenging. That's one of them. If I was to address it in terms of change, I would do so in the school improvement meeting in the spring. The faculty, we discussed this with the faculty, and they want to kind of see how it works out. It was even suggested that we use this not just with core classes, but with all classes. That's the way it is in the junior high. And I would be inclined to discuss that with the school improvement with faculty as well. That's the direction I'd like to take.
So you're kind of thinking working toward that, toward next fall, is when school would be. I think it's excellent. I really do. You missed one title.
Oh, wow. Oh, tell me where it is. I thought to rub this one in.
I thought Larry Ball.
I won't, because he'll get me every meeting. Now I'll find it.
Requirements.
Okay.
It's self-misspelled, but I think it's excellent.
You're very masterful at this. We appreciate your expertise.
I'm really excited.
It's amazing.
The good thing is that the faculty is behind the community council.
Right. That's right.
And we'll get the information out to students and parents now. If they won't really be impacted by this until midterm.
So you're going to send a letter out?
Yeah.
We'll
send a letter out, and I will go around to all of the learning strategies classes and talk to students about it so they can ask any questions that they might have. It'll take a couple of weeks to get clear through that, but I think that's the best way to do that. And we'll give them hard copies of this as well.
Okay. Any other?
I'd like to make the motion that we approve it.
I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Wish you the best of luck in that. Just be revision of existing policies. What's next? I've lost my.
This is the record management and access policy, and I had Jackie go to a training on the grandma law a couple of months ago, and based on some information she received there, we felt a need to update this policy so that it's current with the Grandma Act as it is now written, and also to consolidate it a little bit. It was a 5-page policy, so we trimmed it down to 3, and then on the last page we've also added an official grandma request form, which was one of the suggestions that was given at that training, and this will give us a little bit more of an established way of handling a grandma request that comes into the district. All of our records have to be classified under the five different categories that are listed in the policy. And so the adjustments that we've made are just to kind of clarify that based on the current law. Instead of spelling them all out, we've just referred to the law, and that's how we've condensed it down a little bit. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, but would recommend that you approve this revision and we'll have this in place.
I just had a question. It says the records officer shall determine whether access to the requested records is to be granted or denied. I just wondered who that would be. Is that you?
I'm the records officer.
Okay.
He's the records officer.
Okay.
And that's on the front page of the policy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It defines that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any other? Okay. Is there a motion to accept that?
I would make the motion that we revise it as did and explained it to us.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, let's go to the principal's report. We're glad to have you here, and
thank
hope
you.
Principal Jones, that you're enjoying your time here.
I am.
Superintendent said to take about an hour and a half.
Is that always so popular?
I'm sorry about that.
Well, just like to welcome you to Junior High. Got a little handout here. Just got her mission statement here on the first page, and it's a lot of what goes on here, I really haven't changed anything up to this point. Maybe a couple of little things here and there, but this is a very well organized school. Compliments to Mr. Davis. Been a real easy transition for me, and a lot of that I can thank him for that. So, on the second page here. So the following information here is enclosed, and I'm not going to go through all of this. I mean, you can look through it at your convenience, but there's some student demographic information, some school demographic information here for you. Enrollment right now, we are, as of Monday, we were 171 students, but we did have three kids that checked in on Monday, so I guess we're up to 174. So.
Okay.
There's some information on the lunch program. Talks about free and reduced lunch. There's a sheet in there on fee waivers. I think we have 33 kids that are on fee waivers right now. There's some information on the faculty and staff. There is a class schedule in there for you. There's also a page with our community council members, volunteers, and various support staff that all contribute to the success here at Kennedy. The last one is a proposed schedule change, and I'm going to talk just briefly about that in just a few minutes. But I wanted to spend just a little bit of time on just some good news items. The first one I want to talk about is our math program. Kirk Collard and Mark Luther are our math teachers. And just so you know, last year on the core test, our geometry students, well, actually all of our math students did exceptional, but the kids in geometry were just fantastic. This is a percentage of students that were proficient, and in geometry it was 92%, and the state average is 71%. So, I mean, that's just fantastic. So, another thing to kind of brag about a little bit in our math program is we have an Algebra A class now for our ninth graders. So any ninth graders that are struggling in algebra, they go into this Algebra A class, they move at a slower pace, and that's been a real beneficial program to us. As I talked to Kurt yesterday, through the first and second term, we have not had one student fail algebra. And a lot of that is due to that Algebra A class. So that's been a real positive. Okay, next on here is science. And I just kind of went through and asked the teachers, you know, some of the good news items and some of the things that they wanted to share with you. And Andy talked about the Science Olympiad that they went to last March. There was 26 junior highs from around the state, and we had a group of kids that did win a bronze medal, and we had some other kids that placed anywhere between 4th, 5th, and 6th. And there was a lot of kids at that competition, so they did really well. In language arts, we have Colette Clement and Bill Wright in our language arts department. And one of the exciting things that's going on right now is MightyAuthors.com. Every one of Colette's students are using this program. They can get online, they can write short stories, poetry, they can... Colette told me that there's 12 students that have even taken it beyond that, and they're actually writing books through this Mighty Author. So I think that's pretty neat. If you have any questions anywhere, just feel free to jump in, and I'll do the best I can to answer them. We also have several students in our language arts program that are participating in the Governor's Challenge, Do the Right Thing. This gives students an opportunity to express their opinion on violence and school safety. So that's a good thing. In history, we had a geography bee today. We had an eighth grader named Kennedy Byington that won that. So he'll get a chance to take a state test. And if he does well on that state test, he might have the opportunity to go to state competition. We have Mr. Stilson and Ryan Hepworth, who are in our history department. Ryan is also a new counselor here at the junior high. He is a great asset to the school. Computer technology is taught by Eric Mortensen, and he told me this year that there was 15 ninth grade students that passed the skill certification test in computer technology, which according to Eric is a real high number. It's an online test, it's a real strenuous, difficult test, and he was real proud of the fact that many kids passed that test. Okay, in our family and consumer science class, Don Jess is our teacher, and we just had kind of on display for you some of the things that they've done. If you haven't had a chance, maybe at the end of the meeting you can kind of walk around, but Jess kind of in the way right now, but he's usually in the way. But anyway, there's some items back there. There's some real talented kids here, as you can see. In our arts class, again, there's some examples all throughout this room. Jackie Wine is the art teacher, and again, you can see how talented some of these kids are at CanyonView. In our technology class is Dean Stilson, and there's a table right here with some of their products that they've done. And our chorus, we have Dave Bird and Nellie Cox work with our students in chorus, and they've had two concerts this year, and I went to both of them, and they are very, very good. They do a good job. And our band, Reed Feldberg, as I'm sure most of you know, works with our band, and they had a Christmas concert that was combined with Huntington Elementary and Cleveland Elementary, and the entire gym was packed, and so it was a real good concert. In special education, we have Rick Bird and Tammy Rowley. Tammy Rowley is new to CanyonView this year. She's our resource aide. And the one thing that Rick was just real happy about was with Tammy's help, we've been able to get a lot of our special ed kids into mainstream classes with her help. And so she's been a real bonus to us. The next thing that I've got on here is just some of the academic enhancement programs. And again, these things have all been in place here. We have our homework class. Kids have an opportunity 3 times a week after school to go to homework class. We have some tutoring that we use for kids who are struggling academically. Eric Mortensen works with our ELL kids, and he does a good job there. This last one is a new program. It's called Tune Into Reading. We've been working on this since October. We've kind of been dragging our feet, but I'm hoping within the next 2 weeks that we'll actually get this going. And what this program is we've identified the 18 lowest level readers in the school. And what we're going to do is they're going to go through this program, and what they do is they have a headset and a microphone, and they're online, and there's songs that are on the computer, and they actually sing along with the songs into the microphone. and then the computer does all the tallying, and it shows what words were, you know, pronounced correctly and what words they missed. And so we're anxious to get started with this to see how it works with the kids. Character education programs. We have our tickets for treasures every Friday. Kids can put tickets in a jar. They get tickets for good behavior, and they can get prizes every Friday. We also still have our Top Cat party. We have four of those a year, one each term. Again, this was started by Mr. Davis. And kids get so many points for A's, so many points for perfect attendance, parties, citizenship, and you have to get X amount of points in order to go to the party. So, and for the first term, we went down to the Star Theater before it closed and watched a movie down there, and they had a popcorn and a pop and a candy, so it was fun for them. There's some activities. The next part is activities, kind of some service projects, athletics and clubs here, and I know I've probably left somebody out here, but you can kind of look through some of these things. I'm just going to point out a couple maybe real quick. Number three, we did a food drive for Thanksgiving, right before Thanksgiving, and the kids, for a small junior high, the kids raised, they brought in quite a bit of food. And we actually had a competition with Santa Fe, and we won that, so the kids got a little root beer float party for that. And number five, on Spencer's Wishes, I'm sure you've heard of that. I think the dad's name is Phil Roundy, maybe they're from Price, I believe, that does Spencer's Wishes. And the kids raised over $500 for that. So, and there's some other things on here that you can look at. Just to, you know, down at the bottom, and I'll just conclude here, potential changes. The one thing that I did want to talk to you about, just briefly, if you want to look, it's the last handout that you have in there. And this is something that we would be looking towards for next year. It says proposed schedule change at the top. And it has reasons for the proposed change. And it says, number one, the homework class is not used by enough students. This was brought to me by the community council. They had some concerns that, you know, it's a great resource, but just not enough kids were using it. And so I kind of, for two or three weeks, kind of watched it. And well, really, I've kind of been watching it, you know, up to this point right now. And I mean, there's times where nobody will show up. There's times where one or two kids will show up. And, you know, so, I mean, I agree with that. Okay, number two on here is, you know, we're to the point now where we really don't need two lunch periods. Now, we will have to make a few adjustments with the size of our commons area to be able to do one lunch. But with that time that we will be able to save by doing only one lunch, we're going to do kind of our homework class or our learning strategies class will be during the regular school day. It'll be about a 20 to 30 minute period. We feel like it's a learning strategies class, I mean, it can, you know, if it's used wisely, it can help kids. And then on number four here, our probation class is separate from our homework class. Right now, if kids get on probation at Canyon View, they have to go, if they're on academic probation, they have to go to two homework classes. If they're on citizenship probation, they have to go to three homework classes. And that's really the only time that homework class, when there's a lot of kids that are there. And so kind of what we're thinking is that at midterm and the end of the term, we'll run a two-week strictly probation class. So we'll still require kids to do that if they're on probation. But then we'll use that extra time during the day to hopefully help kids so they won't go on academic probation. So, but anyway, there's some information here, and you can look through it. You know, at this point, I mean, the faculty is behind this. We're looking at it. What we would like to do, and I've talked a little bit to Mrs. Callahan and the superintendent about this, but what we would like to do is maybe during a one-week period this spring, actually try this schedule. It will not affect our chorus people or our band people, which are part-time, or Don Jeff, who's part-time. It will not affect them at all. And we kind of like to do it for a week and then kind of see what the problems are so that we can have it ready to go next year. That's kind of our goal with this. But there's a couple pages there, and you can look at them. And in conclusion, I guess, like to thank the school board for everything that you do for the students at Canyon View Junior High. And if you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them.
I think it really looks great. I'm impressed. So those that aren't involved in the homework classes will do these following things during that time period,
yeah,
right?
We want to try to create something, not only for the kids that are struggling, but also for the gifted kids as well.
So
we want to try to create programs for everybody.
Wonderful.
So, I know there's going to be some bugs here, and that's kind of why we want to try it and see how it works. I almost think like the last week of the term would be great. It's kind of hectic, but if we tried it then, you could use that 20 or 30 minute period, and those kids that are getting F's or poor grades could actually go to, whatever classes they're struggling in that last week and maybe do some remediation or some makeup.
Let us know how that works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your report. We appreciate it. Sounds like you're doing carrying on the tradition at Canyon View of excellence, and we appreciate it. We appreciate your enthusiasm and desire to make it a good school here. Let's go to the superintendent's report.
I wish I had something positive to report.
I have to follow that.
The only thing that I have tonight to report on, we had a meeting with the principals on Monday as we came back to school. I called them into a kind of emergency administrative council, and the purpose for that was information. Two emails that I had received from the State Office of Education. One I received just prior to leaving for the holidays, and it basically told us that on December 16th, the Legislative Executive Appropriations Committee met, and they put together a base budget proposal that includes a 7.5% budget reduction on this year's budget across the board. And they also adopted an 85% budget for next year, which means a 15% reduction on next year's budget across the board. That's huge. 7.5% in our school district is just under $900,000. The other thing that we received just before the holidays was notice from CEU that they have notified all of their non-tenured employees that they would not, their contracts wouldn't be renewed for next year. They had to do that by law. They had to give notice of any non-renewals, I think, by the 15th of December. So they sent it to all of them. In talking with Miles Nelson, who's over the Applied Technology College, our concern was the programs, the auto program, the building construction program, our computer networking class, and our welding and milling class. Those instructors are either partially or fully paid for by the college. Now, if we were to lose those mid-year right now, it would probably add, it would be up in the neighborhood of $1 million cut for this year. Received a second email. He assured me that they were not going to cut all those programs. He said there may be some minor reductions in a period here or there, an aid or something like that, that we might have to look at picking up somehow. But he was pretty sure that unless something really drastic happened between now and next year, that those programs would be able to continue. The problem is it has our instructors pretty nervous. And some of them are starting to look for new jobs.
Yeah.
Received another email on December 27th. This is probably why I decided to bring the principals in. This was from the State Office of Education, indicated that the state superintendent and the associate superintendent who sent the email, Larry Shumway, met with the Senate president and talked frankly about budget. they don't know what the shortfall for next school year is going to be, but they know it's going to be significant. They are asking, they're adopting an 85% budget, which is a 15% cut across the board. Their hope is that it won't be that high. They're trying to shoot for the higher number. But they did indicate that public education, it's their intent that there will have to be some cuts to public education. They're hoping it'll be less deep than other parts of state government. But they're talking in the range of 4 to 10% for public education. Now, if you take the high number of 10%, that's about $1.2 million to Emory School District. So if you add that on to this year, if they make a cut this year, we're over $2 million, or near $2 million. That's significant. We won't know until the legislature meets at the end of this month and into next month what those cuts will be. We may get by this year with no cuts. I don't know. There is a tendency for the legislature to be more sympathetic toward public education than other agencies. And so the hope is that that will continue and that there won't be the deep cuts that they're throwing the numbers out right now. We have been asked to be prepared to give a report on what reductions we would plan to make should those cuts be made on this year's budget. We haven't had a request for it yet, but we'll certainly let them know what it means with regard to what it could mean with regard to staffing even for this year. However, our goal for this year is to get through this year without staff reductions. And in order to do that, we pulled the principals together and we announced several things. We've also sent out a memo to all employees. But basically what we've done at this point is we've put a freeze on all purchases from state funding sources. Except for emergency needs to keep the schools running. We certainly don't want to run out of paper for kids to do. You know, we don't want to impact the learning process. But we have put a freeze on purchases from state funding sources. There are a couple of sources. Of course, the federal monies are not impacted by that. And also the trust land monies. They're separate funding, and so we haven't put a freeze on those. We've also put a temporary freeze on that. We put a temporary freeze on field trip travel, employee out-of-state travel. We've put a limit on the teacher enhancement level and extended day payments that we'll pay out this year, and we'll also be looking at any existing fund balances that we have in any programs to throw into the pot. I call it backfilling. We're going to try to backfill this year to get through this year without staff reductions. But if they talk about, if we realize the kind of percentage cuts that they're talking about, that will be totally impossible next year. Because if you look at a 10% cut next year, that's, like I said, $1.2 million. But where you're backfilling on this year with one-time monies, that's going to compound itself into the next year. And so you're not going to look at a 10%, you're going to look at a 17.5% cut. And there's no way that can be done without significant reductions in staffing. We're hopeful it doesn't happen, but we won't know until the legislature meets. But in the meantime, we've taken this action until we do find out, so that we can at least get through this year and not have to cut staff. Should we find out during the early part of the, and I assume it'll be during the early part of the legislative session, should we find out that those cuts won't come, then we will certainly free up this money and allow it to be spent. We'll take the restrictions off, and I think the first thing, of course, I think that we would pay would be those extended day payments and enhancement levels that go to teachers. And then beyond that, we would free up the other funds for use on this year. But even a 4% cut next year would be in the neighborhood of $500,000. At the low end, and I anticipate that we'll probably have at least a 4% cut. Whether we can do that without staff reductions is yet to be seen. There may have to be some, but one thing that did help us is the Secure Rural School funds that we got this past year. We worked with the county commission on that. Is $160,000 this year, but it will go down 10% a year over the next four, and then it has to be renewed by Congress. So there are some things like that, but just so you're aware, we do feel we can get through this year without staff reductions, but we don't know about next year. We're on ground that we haven't stood on before. I mean, we've had declining enrollments for 15 years, and there have been a couple of years where we have had to make reductions of $500,000 and $600,000 because of declining enrollments. But that did not come without staff reduction. But I don't think we've ever faced the possibility of $1 million or $2 million in cuts in a year. So welcome to the board, Nana.
Kurt, you know, if it looks like the legislature is going to cut, make those kinds of cuts, do you suppose that we could lobby them to make some variances in the applications for the school trust land money so that we can fill
Yeah, that's one thing you can look at. The legislature has to do that. We can't touch the trust land funds.
No,
it's given directly to the trust land board, and we have discussed that with our legislators. Fortunately, we have a board member who now has a brother as a state senator. Maybe he can help us out.
Yeah, that's right. But is that in place to lobby them in that event so that we can
Yes, it is through the School Board Association and the Superintendent Association.
Okay.
One thing that the Senate and House have both said is they want to give school districts the flexibility. They want to give a percentage cut and let us decide where to cut. The problem with that philosophy is that most of your state money is restricted.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you how to spend it.
Exactly.
So the only flexibility you have is in your staffing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather the legislature say, we're going to take Senate Bill 2 that we passed last year and we're going to eliminate that money.
Yeah.
Or they take programs that they have implemented and cut the funding there,
mm-hmm.
rather than just give us a percentage cut and have us, you know, 85% of our money is in staff,
mm-hmm.
in salaries and benefits.
Yeah.
I just thought if we could get some of that trust land money less restricted, it might help fill in some of that gap.
The thing is, the one thing about if they make a budget cut in mid-year, then all of those restrictions are lifted except trust land. But all of the restrictions on other state programs
mm-hmm.
are up for grabs, and we can use them where we want. But that only gets you through the year,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
That's if your budget has been approved and established, which it was last June. So mid-year, those restrictions come off state programs. But at the beginning of next year, you're going to have to adopt a budget based on what cuts you know are going to come. And so those restrictions we place back on the funds are the programs that the state legislature has given to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for years we have said, give us the money on the WPU, don't give us new programs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've given us new programs.
Mm-hmm.
And those funds are restricted to those programs. So if they cut state funding, without eliminating those programs, then you're stuck with staff reductions, basically. So.
Do the legislators understand that?
I hope so. they don't sometimes listen. And of course, one of the problems you have is that your rural legislators have very little power. But we'll see. There'll be a lot of heavy lobbying early in the session. You know, we'll be up there. We'll be in contact with our legislators. I'm usually in contact with them a couple of times a week during the session. We were asked the question by the state superintendent about trust lands, and although none of the superintendents wanted their names used, the majority, if not all, we're in favor of looking at that source of funding to help offset the cost of these cuts. The $20 million in performance-based compensation, it's one-time money, but we'd rather than take that and and use it to spread it out if they have to over 4 or 5 years to help with these reductions until the economy gets better. But there's probably a couple hundred million dollars in funding that could be pulled back from programs and used and spread, even if it's one-time money, if they spread it over a number of years, it could help get through the difficult times. We're going to get through it. We have to run a school district. You know, it just may mean an increased class sizes or program reductions,
mm-hmm.
but we'll get through it. We've got kids to educate, and we'll do it. But we all need to understand where we're at. My hope is that it won't be that severe. We're looking at a worst-case scenario when we talk about these percentages. The hope is that that someone will listen to the governor's recommendation. The governor recommended we'd be held harmless this year, mm-hmm. and that we'd be given no more than a 4% cut next year. But his plan included taking money from transportation, redistributing that, and then funding transportation projects on a project-by-project basis and bonding for that. Now, if they will bond for that, then that spreads those payments out, and that money can be used to reduce the cuts to public debt. I asked the governor when we were meeting with him early in December when he announced his budget. I think that was the only question. I asked two questions, and one I wish I hadn't, but I asked the question when he proposed his budget. It looked really good, but I said, will you have the support of the legislature? His answer to me was, well, this is the way it works. The governor recommends a budget, gives it to the legislature, half of them throw it in the garbage, the other half file it away, and then at some point during the session, somebody will pull it out and say, well, here's an idea. And when he did say, some will laugh at it. Now, from what I've heard so far, at least in the Senate leadership, they do not want to use the one-time monies as part of cuts. They say to be fiscally responsible that the cuts have to come in ongoing funds. Otherwise, it creates a bigger deficit. So it's a tough situation for them. I think the governor is more optimistic than anybody I've seen up there that this can work. And it's one of the few times that I've agreed with the governor. But I do think that some of the things that he has proposed could work, and it could really help school districts. But unless the legislature is willing to cut programs before they start assessing percentage reductions, our cuts have to come in areas that are going to hurt. It doesn't make sense to maintain some of the legislative programs that are in place and then have to cut staff and raise class sizes and put people out of work when the economy is over. And every school district will be faced with a similar situation.
Yeah.
So, I wish I had better news, but I wanted to inform you on what we've done. I think I did send you a copy, at least, and I attached a copy of the things I told you tonight here on some of those. But I think our staff out in the schools understand for the most part. I think they're nervous. They're worried. We've had quite a scurrying over the last few days of people trying to find out what endorsements they have and what. But they're worried, and we felt that we need to be up front with them, let them know what the situation was. But I think that they are understanding of it, and I think that as we get into the legislative session, we find out maybe it isn't quite so bad, but we'll all start to feel a little bit better. But we've got about 6 weeks right now we've got to worry. So let me lose the sleep, and then you guys can hear about it later. That's all I have right now.
We'll work it through. Thank you. Thank you for that information. We will do the best we can to make it work. Jared, we'll go to the business administrator's report.
I don't have anything.
Right. Any public comments? Have anything out there? Do you have items for closed meetings?
We do have a couple of personal items.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I move that we go to executive, we don't call closed session for personnel items.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all. Tell me.
Let's see, Larry and Jim and Jed, why don't you stay a minute?
Jed had a wisecrack. He was very clear in public comment.
Really?
No. Wouldn't do that.
Yeah.